Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Okay. Today, we're going to look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm written by David. I like this psalm because this psalm is about the wow. I wonder, how often do you come across things that excite you, that interest you, that capture your heart, and you use the word wow? How often? The thing that amazed me was a few days ago, my grandson came back from China after 3 weeks away. While he was away, I bought him a Christmas present. I bought him a scooter, a two-wheel scooter. So he came back very early in the morning. The next morning when I woke up, I showed him what I bought him. I said, come, I'll show you what you're getting for Christmas. The minute he saw what I bought from him, I mean, I know that my grandson is very loud, just like I am. I'm very loud. And when he saw that, he said, wow! I mean, it's really. And the next thing he said, this is great. And I was shocked with his reaction. For a young kid, just coming to be five, to be, wow! Now I understand why Jesus said that. We are not to become childish Christian. We are not to become childish Christian, but there are certain elements of our Christian life. We have to be childlike in terms of our faith. We have to be childlike in terms of our trust. Do you understand that? Could it be possible that life has become so hard? And with all its hurts and disappointment and all the negative things that has happened to life, I know life can be quite a great challenge, that we lose this sense of excitement. You know, that nothing seems to make us, wow! We lose the wow factor in our life. You know, and we live life as if we are seeing, like not seeing. Have you felt that way before? Hearing like not hearing. Has life become like a rat race? Is it become madness, boring, flat and empty? And sometimes life has become out of balance and you can be so immersed with smartphones and high tech that you have got no more space for wow. The wow factor in your life. Psalm 139 is about the wow factor. When David looked at the greatness of God, who he is, deep within him comes this sense of wow. We need to revive this wow factor in your life. If you have a chance to look at the sky in the night, my wife was sharing about the stars and the moon through a telescope. You will see how beautiful and how great creation is. It should give you a sense of, wow, the God who has created all these things. Think of this. If the sun is too near to the earth, we all will be barbecued. If the sun is too far from the earth, we all will be what? Frozen. Have we taken the normal things of life for granted that we forgot to sense how awesome our God is? So, when I look at creation, I'm wowed by God, I'm wowed by His creation, I'm wowed by His work and His act. And creation is really a wonders of God. In fact, if you put creation to the next level on the Sunday's service, when we are here, when we worship Him, are you caught up by who God is? I'm wowed by God. Have you ever thought of this? When I'm here, and the Bible says, as the song leader started and said, when two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them. That when we are worshiping God, we should be taken by wonders. The wonders of His person. That God is in this place. God is in this house. Can you understand that? You know, Jacob woke up from his sleep and he said, wow, I didn't know that God was in this place. And where was he? He was in the wilderness, asleep. And he had this dream about angel ascending and descending. And he was taken. Wow, surely God is in this place. I think when we have this sense of wow, this sense of wonder of who God is, on a Sunday morning when we come and worship Him, it will deposit a dimension of faith, a dimension of hope, and a dimension of love that is in you. It will boost you up so that when you see life differently. I like Psalm 139. You know, Psalm 139. The wonders of God. The acts and the work that bring wow to you. And this is what happens when the believer takes time to think of God, the wonder of His work and His act. And this should somehow renew, you know, a sense of wow. Psalm 139, David shared three wow of God's greatness. And you need to apply these three wow into our Psalm 139, which I entitled, I Hope in God. When you hope in God, it's not a very passive hope. It's a very active and a powerful hope. David said, I hope in God. And because he hoped in God, he's able to say, wow, who God is and what God can do. So the first thing he said, look at verse 1 to verse 6. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, and there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The first thing that David was caught by the wonders of God that gave him a sense of wow is that God, you are omniscient. That means God, you know everything. There is nothing hidden from you, O God. You know everything. God knows you. God knows you. Think about that. How many people are there on this earth? 7.2 billion people. Maybe people will see you one over 7.2 billion. But when God sees you and He knows you, it's not one over 7.2 million. It's one. God knows every one of us sitting here personally. He knows us by name. He knows our address. If He sends an email or a post to you, you'll be sure you will receive the message. He knows. In fact, the Bible says that He knows us so well that He knows the number of hair we have. I know some people have got more than others, but the Bible says God knows our hair count. That is amazing. We are talking about this God who knows everything. And David used the word, God, you knows me. 5 times in this passage, when he used this word, you knows me, he means God, you know me in a personal level. He means God, you search me. It means, God, you have examined me carefully. You have explored. And it simply means, God, you know me inside out. How do you like that? I think sometimes we do not even know ourselves. How many of you realize that? Sometimes we don't even know ourselves. And sometimes people may say, oh, now I know you. But God said, I know you because I searched your heart. I know your very thoughts. In fact, he said, what are you going to come out of your mouth? I already knew it. That's quite powerful. The God who knows everything about you. God, you know my sitting down and my rising up. If you work in an office, they have this sign on a notice board. Your name, if you are quite an important person, your name, in or out. So the Bible tells us, God knows our sitting up, our lying down. He knows our in or out. The minute you get up, he knows you. The minute you walk out of the house, he knows you. That is how much God really knows you. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought of that? That God knows you and he knows you very well. In fact, he said, God, you knows me in verse 3, in which it means that, Lord, you comprehend me. It means what, God? You shift me like a grain. That means, God, whatever I'm going to do, my path, my why, my how, my what, my when, you know it, you wait it. And when you knows me, God, my action, whether it's approved or disapproved by you. That's why I get amazed. Just 2 days ago, I was looking at the news about this couple in Queensland that was selling false trade certificate. And they've been doing for years, and finally they got caught, you know. And I was reading this article about this couple. The thing that really shocked me was these are very committed Christians. They always talk about God. They are about sharing about their faith. I scratched my head. How can a person who say God knows me and I know God and call themselves a Christian live that kind of life to cheat other people? It's not possible. In fact, to call themselves a Christian is a disgrace to our faith. This is what David said. God, you knows me so well that my very thoughts, my very action, my very motive, you search it, you stretch it, you shift it, and you know where I stand. I think it's important for us to realize that, look, you cannot put a wool over God's eyes. God knows everything. If God knows everything, it's wonderful. That means my pain, he knows. My challenge, he knows. My trouble, he knows. My finance, he knows. My need, he knows. God knows everything. That's what David said. God, you are all-knowing, oh God. I know sometimes we say, if God is all-knowing, why do I need to pray to him when I have a need? Because when we pray to him, when we have a need, even though he knows, by asking, we have humbled ourselves and acknowledge his power. So David said, God, you know everything. If God knows what I think, according to this scripture, he knows what I'm going to say, he knows what is in my heart, then Psalm 19 verse 14 must be our constant prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my God, and my Redeemer. I like this Psalm 139. When God knows everything about you, and then he said in verse 5, not only I know, I protect you. He said in verse 5, I will lead you in front and I will protect you behind. I will be your rear guard. And when God said that I will lead and I will protect, it means that Whatever is our need, He will supply. His hand is upon us to guide us, to restrain us. And He protects us. And He said, I know everything. What is your need? I'm a provider for you. You may not realize that you are surrounded by God. Verse 6. God who knows everything. Now that I know God knows everything. Verse 6 is the response of David. You know what was his response? Wow. This is too much. Too wonderful. I cannot take it all in. This is David's response. God, you know everything. And you know me so well. And he said, God, this is too much. This is too wonderful. You know, I just cannot take all them in. He didn't say, God, you know me. Give me a break. Have you ever heard people say, you are becoming too close to me. Come on. Let's have a big gap. And there are people who get very frightened when you start to go close to them. They don't want you to know them. They disappear. They run away. But not David. David said, God, you know me so much. He said, this is wonderful. Wonderful for me. He didn't say to God, God, give me a break. He is glad that God knows him. And he said, wow. You know, not whoa. He didn't say, I'm exposed. But he said, God, you know. You know me. And I pray that you have the same feeling that David have when God say, I know you. Think about that. I know you. Everything about you. There's nothing that God does not know about you. Your cry, your disappointment, your hurt, your marriage, your relationship, your job, your struggle. God said, I know them. I know what you're going through. All you need to do is trust me and believe in me and put your faith in me. And I'm here for you. That's what David said. He said, when I think about that, he said, wow, this is too much. Too wonderful. The God who knows everything about you. The second thing that bring a wow is from verse 7 to verse 12. Let's read. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wind of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shine as the day. Darkness and the night and the light are both alike to you. The second thing that really amazed David, that bring a wow, is God omnipresent. God is present everywhere. Everywhere. You are never alone. A student went to class, you know, and this student is an atheist who don't believe in God. He went to the class, he took a chalk, and he wrote, God is nowhere. God is nowhere. And another student, who is a Christian, erased and make a small change. Instead of just two words, God, three words, God is nowhere. He changed it to the same word, just respace it. The word reads, God is now here. God is now here. That's what we need to realize, that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. That God is always present and He's present everywhere. So, even in your Facebook, what you put inside there, remember God knows and God is present. Have you ever seen people who put silly things on the Facebook? How many of you realize that? And this is what the psalmist say. David said, God, you are present, you are everywhere. And because God, you are everywhere, David did not feel like a prisoner. I tell you what, if I tell my children when they were growing up, I'm everywhere, what do you think they'll tell me? But yet David never said, I'm a prisoner. He said this, God, because you are everywhere, you will hang me in. If I travel far, I cannot escape from you. He said, where can I go from you? David said, Lord, even you know me and you are everywhere, does not make me a prisoner. In fact, he said this, God, because you are everywhere, I'm your child, I'm safe. Even though I walk to the valley of shadow of death, I will not fear what? Death. Why? Because God, you are everywhere. That's how David felt. You know, and it's important for us to realize, because sometimes as Christians, we struggle that, Lord, I think you have forsaken me. You have left me. I'm all alone. The Bible tells us that God said in His Word, I will never leave you or forsake you. You may feel alone, but you are never what? Alone. It's your feeling, but not what the Word says. God is present everywhere. And because He is present everywhere, this is what 2 Corinthians 3:17 says. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. It means this. God is everywhere. I'm going to the office that I am work, the environment may not be the best because I am here as a child of God. God is also here. And because God is here, I have this one, where the Spirit of God is, there is what? Freedom. If you feel bound, it's because you forgot who your God is. Wherever I am, I'm free because I'm a child of God. That's what David said. Then he said, look, there are three things that David talked about, the three D's that is common to us: death, distance, and darkness. He said that even in death, you are there. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. So David is saying, even in death, God, you are there. A busy life. A bad decision. How many of you never make bad decision, wrong decision? We all do. Even death cannot take you away from God's presence. David has lived his life in danger. Sometimes death at the door, and God was there for him. You are present. Distance cannot take away from God. No distance is too near or too far. From the east to the west, from the sunrise to the sunset, God is there. You are everywhere. In fact, David said, darkness cannot take you away from God's presence. You know, they have this night goggles where you are able to see everything. But you know that God does not see, does not need that. His eyes is able to pierce through darkness. Nothing shut or keep God out. There is no restricted zone with God. He is everywhere. No hiding from God. Is it not great to realize that God is everywhere? He's ever present. The three Hebrews that were thrown into the heat of the furnace, God is there. Daniel that was thrown in the lion den, God is there. Jonah that was in the fish belly, God is there. Jeremiah 3:23, verse 24. Can a man hide himself in hiding place so I do not see him, declare the Lord? Do I not feel the heaven and the earth, declare the Lord? So what is God saying? God is saying, I am everywhere. I'm present everywhere. You have pain, I'm present. You have struggle, I'm present. You got no money, I'm also present. Some people only when you got money, got friends. Thank God, God is not the kind of God. You got no money, he's also your friend. He'll give you some if you ask him. You know, and this is what God is saying in this scripture. It's so wonderful because he is ever present. He is everywhere. And if God is everywhere, from the east to the west, from the land, sea, or heaven, or even hell, God is everywhere, and there is no place that God cannot be. For a non-Christian, the omnipresence of God may bring them into a place of, ooh, I've been watched. And God is here. But for a Christian, it should be very comforting for us. Very comforting for us. That whatever we go through, even in time of danger, God is there. That and difficult, God is there. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Do not panic, I am with you. There is no need to fear, for I am your God. I'll give you strength, and I will help you, and I will hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. Because God is present everywhere, you are never alone. And if God is present everywhere, every resources for life is given to you. God is present. If he is present, stop worry. Would you? Live a life free of anxiety, free of fear, free of worry, because God is there. If God is there, that means the next step, the present step that you are taking, God is there. The next step that you are taking, God is there. And he will always be there before you and behind you. You may feel lonely, but you're never lonely. Wherever you go, God is right there. Right there. He said, I come alongside you to encourage you. I come alongside you to protect you. And I come alongside to guide you. God is omnipresent. And David said, wow. Wow. Have you ever had to go for a meeting and you don't like to go for a meeting? Bad, you know it's going to be tough. Have you ever gone through that? Come on. You know, you feel like you are the lamb going for the slaughterhouse. When you have that kind of moments in your life, you need this comfort that God is everywhere. I'm not going there by myself. He is with me. He is with me. I tell you, there are occasions when I meet people in my life when I know it's going to be a hard meeting and how the thing just turn around because God is what? God is present. The last thing he said is found in verse 13 to verse 18. Let's read. For you form my inward part. You cover me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your work, and that my soul knows very well. My frame are not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth, your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed, and in your book they all were written, the day fashioned for me, yet as yet there is none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I would count them, they would be more in number than the sun, than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The next thing that really make David say, wow, God, is God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. The question that Jeremiah was asked, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything? I'm asking you this morning, Is there anything too hard for God? Nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. The impossible is possible with God. So David began to see, and taken by the all-powerful God. And you would think, in other chapters, he used creation to express the all-powerful God. But in this chapter, he didn't use the vastness of creation. He used something very simple. What did he use? The miracle of life. The baby in the mother womb. To express the all-powerful God, the one who is the author of life. He said the conception, the development, and the birth are great wonders. Month by month, miracles is taking place in the mother womb, and God is involved in them. If you have physically watched the birth of a baby, I have. It is a great wonder to see that baby coming out. It's like a balloon. It's sometimes like a balloon coming out to the air and expanding. It's a real miracle of life. And David, when he wrote this, he's not a medical doctor. He doesn't have any medical training. But he was wowed by the miracle of life by an all-powerful God. He said in verse 13, "For you form my inwardmost part. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And this is what David said, "God, when I was in my mother's womb, this is who you are. You saw everything. In fact, God, you know how tall I'm going to be, what color of eyes I'm going to have. You know what color of skin I'm going to have. You know all this with knowledge. Because you are present with your power." Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed, I shaped you in the womb. I knew all about you. Wow. So he said, "God, you see the innermost part of me and how I am knitted in the womb." The word knit means protection. It's a great wonder. It's a great wonder in the miracle of life that the baby in the mother womb is so protected. It's a great wonder. And this is what David says, "Wow, I'm being knitted in my mother womb. That when I'm in that womb of my mother, I'm protected. And when my mother emotion, her voice, her touch, everything that she does is speaking to that baby, protection from her womb. An unborn child in the mother womb. Can you see how precious it is to God? That's why God never liked abortion, no matter what people believe. It is life. So David said this, "God, you are all powerful. Instead of looking at the sky and creation, I want to talk about it as the human body. This body. I know you look at this body, it doesn't have six-pack and bicep and tricep. It's not as good as it's supposed to be. But this is what David said, and this is what scientists has discovered. Scientists has been wowed by the magnificence of the human body. This is their discovery. They said that your brain can store 100 trillion facts. I know sometimes I do forget. Have you had that moment? From one room to the other room, you forget what you were going to do. We all have that. But yet, this is what science has discovered. In fact, no fingerprint is the same. No, every tongue is unique. And this is what they discovered. When you sneeze, achoo! He said, your sneeze is 100 miles per hour. You never thought of that, right? That's what they discovered. You know, and then they say that the scientists have discovered that the stomach produces new lining every 3 days. All the way, all the digestion chemicals will not do you harm. And they discovered so much more. He said, this is the wonders. See, when I look at the human body, I know it is complicated, the human body, but we don't have to be a complicated person. Can you say amen to that? He said, you look at this human body. He said, Lord, in verse 15, you know the frame of my body. This is what they discovered. When you were born, you had 350 bones in your body. After childhood, 144 of this bone fused together. I'm not a scientist, but this is what they have discovered. You know, I was doing some research, you know, and every 7 years, your body replaced the equivalent of an entire new bone. Oh, this is what David said. God, when I look at this human body, this baby in the mother womb, it is awesome. It is all. And that means what? If God knows everything about this baby, the gifting, the talent, and the ability is already given. Even if it's just one, use it for His glory, even if it's just one. But sometimes when we look at our body, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, not many people are happy with the mirror, what they see. We got to stop complaining and stop comparing, you know, and respond like the psalmist who say, when I look at myself, this is what he said in verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your work, and that my soul knows very well. Wow. Verse 16, he said, God, even before this baby comes to life into this world, you already ordained his life or her life. What is life about? Life is to discover God's purpose for us and fulfill that purpose. That's what life is all about. And this is what David said in verse 16, God, you already ordained before the child is born. I think sometimes we think that we make mistakes in life. How many of you realize that? But they are not mistakes. They are the journey of life. For God to bring you to there, something must happen along the way. How many of you realize that? Sometimes it takes some problem to make you change your mind and do something. Sometimes it takes some uncomfortable thing in order for you to make some decision in life. How did I end up in Australia? How did I end up in Australia? You know how I end up in Australia? It was in 1984. The market in Singapore was bad. Singapore was going through one of the worst recessions. I was a manager selling Komatsu forklift. 2 years before that, my employer convinced me to employ somebody to be my assistant who was once my superior. I employed him to be my assistant. So when the market was bad, the same employer who asked me to employ him came to me and said, look, we only need one of you. Because everybody that you know, he also know. We only need one of you. I went to this man who I have employed, who was older than me, who I promised him, you come and work for me, I will look after you. I went to him and said, look, I'm told we only need one of us. You are much older. You stay. For me, I will look for, I'm younger, I will look for another opportunity. I will look for another opportunity. And that's how I end up in Australia. 20 years later, when the same person, the same provider who tell me we only need one, came to Perth for holiday, called me out for dinner, and asked me, why do you leave the company? I turned around and told him, because you say you only need one of us. And I promised him that I'll look after him. That's why I came here. I mean, you think I came by chance? You think you're sitting here by chance? Come on. We are. If we believe, as the scripture said, that God ordained our life, then nothing happened by chance. Even the mistake that we make, we do make some bad decision in life. Just like Abraham and Isaac, they should not go to Egypt, but they went. But God was redemptive to bring them through and to see them through. It may take a little bit longer. And this is what Paul, this is what David is saying, God, you know, every day of my life is recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. That God has a plan for your life. He ordered your step. And sometimes through disobedience or stubbornness, you miss what God has for you. The good news is God is redemptive and restorative in His dealing. Put your trust and hope in the God of Romans 8:28 that said all things work together for good for those who are who love Him. I mean, sometimes I do love God, but I'm not so smart. Have you ever felt that way? I do love God, but I'm not so smart. I do make some blue choices. But yet, this is the promise of God. And therefore, David said, God, I'm caught when I think about you are all-knowing, when I think about you are all-present, and when I think you are all-powerful. You say, God, I'm just taken. Then he said in verse 17, verse 18, he said, you know one thing? I don't know about you. When you go in sleep, do you think about God? But David said, Lord, when I go in sleep, I think about you. And when I wake up, I'm still thinking about you. And I'm glad, he said to this God, that you're always thinking about who? About me. This what? Where the verse of Jeremiah, you know, 29 verse 11 becomes so powerful that, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Wow. When I think of all these things, David said, wow, God is always thinking about me. Say amen. He's not thinking about the mistake I make, the failures I have done. We think about that most of the time. Don't you think so? But that's not God. God doesn't think about. He's bigger than that. He thinks about what He can do to bless you, to help you, to make you know the power of His life. That's what the Bible tells us. Maybe we should start thinking the right thing. Now, from verse 19 to verse 22. If you look at this beautiful Psalm 139, verse 19 to verse 22 is definitely our place. It's definitely our place in this beautiful psalm. What does it say in verse 19 to verse 22? Oh, that you should slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemy takes your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hates you? And do I not offer those who rise against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemy. Now, this beautiful psalm of who God is, at this three verses there, that is quite shocking. It doesn't seem to be in line with this. What is David trying to say? David is trying to say is this. The God who is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful is only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that He is not only the creator, the life-giver, but He is also the judge of all men. Only God can judge because He is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. And so David is saying that, look, sometimes when we get caught up with those things that doesn't work out for us, people who take advantage of us, who has never got people take advantage of us? Who haven't? Thank God it's people who take advantage of you, not you take advantage of them. Say amen to that. That's what David said. It's good that you are persecuted for being good, not for doing bad. See, so David said, when all these things happen, I need to believe that God knows what His people are doing. And God was present when they did those things. And God has all the power one day to judge them. And it's important for us as Christians to realize that the God who loved us, who died for us, is also the judge. If we forget that God is the judge, and we have a very soft approach about God's being the judge, then I tell you what, this is what happened. We will live life carelessly because what does it matter? But when we know that God is the judge of the living and the dead, then how we live our life becomes very important. The two sides of the same coin. So let's come to the last two verses. To round up. Now that I know God knows everything, God is everywhere and He's all powerful. This is what He said in the last two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I hope this is also your prayer when you hope in God. Your prayer is search me, test me, know me, and point out to me. That's very powerful. Say, God, the things that offend you, point out to me and lead me. When you have such a wonderful God, He knows everything and cannot make a mistake about you. He is everywhere and you are never alone. You are never forsaken. He can do anything and even deal with the wickedness of this world and the evil of this world. In His time, in His own way, that's where you say, wow, the wonders of God. The wonders of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. I want you to capture in your heart and in your mind that this God that you believe is not like non-believers who put their faith in an idol, who has eyes that do not see, who has ear that does not hear, who has mouth that does not speak, who has hand that does not touch. That this God that you believe and you trust is a very personal God who knows you personally. Not one over 7.2 billion people. He knows you when you were in your mother womb. When you stretch, when you kick, when you turn in the mother womb, God said, I watch it and I know it. I know you. This is the God we are talking about. What did David say? This is just too wonderful. Too wonderful to me. And I want you to realize that that when you look at yourself, your self-esteem, your self-worth comes from recognizing that God, your Father in heaven, knows you, saw you in your mother's womb. The self-esteem that the world talk about is not based on how God sees you. It's based on building yourself up, making you feel good. But our self-esteem comes from who God said we are. He said in His Word, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He said in His Word, they ordained the days of your life. You're rising up, you're lying down. Everything I know. And that is where we cry out to God and say, God, help me. Search me. Test me. Know me. Point out to me what that offends you. And lead me into the path of righteousness for your name's sake. This is the God that we are talking about. I want you to be captured by the wonders of God. The world seeks for entertainment, but we are know that God is not here to entertain us. God is here to capture those moments in our heart, in our mind, and in our spirit where we are able to say, wow, this is God's time. God is alive. Wow. God is in the house. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? He who say, I know. He who say, I'm present. He who say, I'm all powerful. Say to you, as you stand before His presence, whatever is your need, whatever is your pain, whatever is your challenge, lift your hand to Him and say, God, let the wonders of who you are be deposited into my heart and into my mind so that I am quickened that I will have the sense of wow, the greatness of God. Father, you know each one of us here by name. You know what we are going through, our lack, you know our surplus, you know everything about us. Nothing is hidden, for in the night you can still see us, oh God. Lord, you think about us each day. How you can bring your purpose and your plan into our life. This morning, Lord, we ask that you will just stir each one of us with a sense of, wow, God is alive. God is in the house. He's involved in my life, in my everyday affair. That nothing happened by chance. But God, you are bringing your purpose, which is the best, which is yet to come into my life. I ask, touch every individual that is here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.